Let's continue reading verses 13 through 22 of Genesis 8. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we see Noah and his wife and his family and the animals leaving the ark. By the way, the name of Noah's wife was not Joan of Arc. Would you believe there was a national poll that went out asking certain questions, and that was one of who was Joan of Arc, and there was a number of people that actually said Noah's wife. Can you believe it? True story. I read it in the newspaper. So we're seeing Noah and his family and the animals leaving the ark, and then we have Noah presenting a sacrifice to the Lord. Genesis chapter 8, beginning at verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Again, let's begin this last half of Genesis 8 now with some background notes. Question: Does Noah's Ark still exist? Answer: At the present time, we can't say for sure. There certainly have been a lot of reported sightings over the years, and I wouldn't doubt that some of them are true. However, we also know that there have been a number of overzealous exaggerated reports as well. You know, you can even take a tour out of eastern Turkey today, and they will show you a geological formation shaped like a boat about the same size as what the ark was, and they will tell you that's Noah's ark. My own opinion is that the ark of Noah does still exist. It's located somewhere in the mountains of Ararat, in the region of Armenia. And at the right time, I believe God will let the snows and the glaciers melt back enough to expose the ark. And I'd love to be part of that expedition that finds the ark. But I'm getting older. Now, what do you think the skeptics of the Bible will do if God does allow the snows and the glaciers to melt back and the ark is exposed? You think these skeptics will, you know, confess their sin of unbelief and fall down on their knees and become Christians? No way. People convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. The skeptics will most likely say, that's an ancient shrine shaped like a boat to commemorate the legend of Noah and the flood. Now you watch. That's exactly what you'll see, I'm convinced of it, in the newspapers, if indeed the Ark of Noah is uncovered. Another question. Where did all the water go from the worldwide flood? Answer: It's still here. We certainly know there's a lot more water on the face of this earth now than there was in the earth's past. The eroded continental shelves and seamounts, for example, are evidence that sea level was much lower in the past. The kind of erosion that we see on the continental shelves does not take place underwater. Furthermore, the vast amount of water tied up in the polar ice caps is further evidence of the fact that there is much more water on this earth now than in the past. There is evidence that both the North Pole and the South Pole were once exposed and semi-tropical. Definite evidence along that line. There's so much more we could say here about the evidence for a worldwide flood, but let's move on to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, God has always preserved a godly remnant. God has always preserved a godly remnant. Back in Genesis 6, we read that God saw the great wickedness of mankind, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In Genesis 6 and verse 9, we read, "This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God." And in chapter 7, verse 1, we read, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me. You are righteous before me in this generation.'" God preserved a godly remnant when God preserved Noah and his family. God has always preserved a godly remnant. Do you remember the 7,000 of Elijah's day who had not bowed their knees to Baal or kissed his image? There was a godly remnant that God preserved. Do you remember the godly remnant consisting of Ezekiel and Daniel and others who remained faithful to the Lord during the Babylonian captivity of Judah? God has always preserved a godly remnant. Do you remember the godly remnant of Anna and Simeon and John the Baptist and others at the time of our Lord? God has always preserved a godly remnant. There is a godly remnant on this earth today, including a godly remnant of Jewish believers. And there will be a godly remnant of both Jewish and Gentile believers during the great tribulation that is to come on this earth in the future. In fact, Noah may be a spiritual picture or type of that future remnant. See if you follow this spiritual picture here now. As Enoch, who walked with God and was raptured before the flood, is a picture of the church, so Noah, who walked with God and was preserved through the flood, is a picture or type of the godly remnant that will be preserved through the tribulation that's to come on this earth in the future. You see that spiritual picture there? The spiritual picture and the doctrinal point. God has always preserved a godly remnant. Doctrinal or teaching point number two. God is always pleased with a godly response. God is always pleased with a godly response. As soon as Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar and worshiped the Lord with burnt offerings. Verse 20. "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar." God was pleased with this godly response. Verse 21, "And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma." What does that mean? "And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma" is another way of saying that God was pleased with Noah's godly response. In fact, God used this occasion to initiate his covenant with Noah and Noah's descendants, and that includes you and me. The Noahic covenant starts here at the end of chapter 8 and continues right on into Genesis chapter 9. And notice here that God promises that as long as Earth's history continues, there will never again be a worldwide catastrophe such as the flood of Noah's day. Verse 22 once again. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." What a great promise for Noah and for us as well. Aren't you glad that you don't have to worry about some huge asteroid hitting the earth and wiping out all life? As God was pleased with Noah's godly response, so God is pleased with our godly response. God is always pleased with a godly response. Well, how is your response? How is my response? How is our response? Is it godly? When you go through a time of testing and trial, do you just breathe a sigh of relief when it's over? Or do you also thank the Lord for his faithfulness, as Noah did? You know, it wasn't going to be easy for Noah to begin all over again. His home, his barn, his gardens, they had all been wiped out, right? Never thought of that before, did you? Really, he has to start all over again. But Noah's first concern was to thank God for his faithfulness. God was pleased with Noah's response. God is always pleased with a godly response. And practical application for this second half of Genesis chapter 8. Wait for God's green light. Wait for God's green light. In both Genesis 6, verse 22, and Genesis 7, verse 5, we read that Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah not only did all that God commanded him to do, he did it when God commanded him to do it. Noah went into the ark when God commanded him. And now Noah comes out of the ark when God commands him, and not before. Noah waited for God's green light. You know how long Noah was on the ark after the ark landed? More than 7 months. You know, I think I would have at least removed the roof of the ark in the first month. Maybe built a sightseeing deck up there with the lumber from the roof. But not Noah. Noah waited for God's green light before he made any major decision. This is a good lesson for all of us. Wait for God's green light. How often we rush ahead of God with our plans, our career plans, our vacation home plans, our ministry plans. You know, I was just talking to a man yesterday who was part of a church planning team about 15 years ago. And as he reflected on some of the things that took place, he acknowledged that most likely they did not wait for God's green light. They rushed ahead. They moved too quickly because there was a good price on land and a building and so forth. And rather than praying more about it, relying on the Lord to preserve that piece of land and building, if that was God's green light, they went ahead without enough prayer. And as he looks back now, he acknowledged that maybe they moved too quickly, even in the ministry, even in doing the Lord's work. Wait for God's green light. Now, there's always the other side of the coin, right? You don't want to sit back and wait forever. God does expect us to step out in faith. So there is a balance here. But it's very possible that we can rush ahead of God. Noah didn't do this. Don't rush ahead of God. Be like Noah. Wait for God's green light.